Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's only 17 verses long, and so I want us to read the whole chapter so we have in context what we want to talk about this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, the last letter, no doubt Paul wrote, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Now, I want you to think about all of those verses and how they have to do with a warning, if you will, about the end times that Timothy was facing, or that Paul thought Timothy was facing. But notice what he says in verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Well, then I would submit to you that Paul's doctrine was not like that doctrine of the first 9 verses. He said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, what I find interesting and what I think is very significant here is the fact that the Apostle Paul issues all of these things about the last times, the perilous times, people having a form of godliness, and then he concludes that this chapter is concluded, and obviously it wasn't divided in chapters when Paul wrote the letter. But as he summarizes this thought, what does he do? He turns Timothy's attention to where the real solution is for all that which he's going to face. What is that? The Word of God. And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I personally don't think that Paul is just simply, in a casual way, making a blanket statement about all Scripture. I believe that it's clear that what Paul had already written down at this point was Scripture. And if you think about what Paul says there in verse 14, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, who did he learn them from? He learned them from Paul. "That which thou hast heard of me," he said, "commit to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also." Hold on here and look over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. There's a good possibility that this letter was written close to the time of 2 Timothy, not for sure. But it's interesting, some things that are said here. Keep it in mind, Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe there's a great possibility, considering what Paul said about those that questioned his apostleship, I believe there's a great possibility that there were those that were denying that what Paul had written was Scripture and would not put it on the same level as what others had written. Now, can't prove that, but it certainly seemed logical to me because, after all, when he writes to the Corinthian church, he mentioned several times about those. Am I not an apostle? There were those that questioned his apostleship. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, Peter's been dealing with the fact that the Lord had not returned yet, and there were scoffers and so forth. So in verse 14, he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." So Paul's epistles were already considered Scripture. He said he's written unto you and also in some other epistles, and people argue with those things, they rest with them, as they do the other Scripture. So Peter understood, if nobody else. And by the way, all those people that say they believe in following Peter, well, the last instruction Peter gave was, you better pay attention to Paul, because his explanation is the only explanation for why the Lord has not returned. And his explanation was long-suffering. God is long-suffering. God has been suffering long now for 2,000 years, putting up with the likes of you and me and mankind, and dispensing his grace through the message given the Apostle Paul. And that long-suffering continues. But you know what, folks? One of these days it's going to end. That long-suffering is going to end, and God Almighty is going to take us away from here, and he's going to resume his program with the nation Israel. But that's another subject. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What I want to talk to you about today and the next 3 or 4 weeks is the verse there, verse 16 and 17, in relation to the profitability of the Word of God. It's profitable. Let me read verse 16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want you to hold on here and flip back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Obviously, the book of the Paul's Acts epistles, Corinthians would be included in those. And at the time that Paul wrote the Corinthian letter and the Galatian letter and the Thessalonian letters, the writings of Paul were in their infancy stage, as was the church, the body of Christ. I personally believe the church, the body of Christ, started with the Apostle Paul. But there are many things in Paul's Acts epistles that we don't follow today, and we don't do today. As a matter of fact, I've got a list of 17 things in my other Bible, if I can ever find it, that Paul did in the book of Acts and later instructed people not to do. It's interesting. The point is this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit," now notice, "is given to every man to profit withal." There was a physical manifestation of the Spirit when those people got together and Paul list some of those things that took place in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now I believe that many of those things were used in the early church before the Word of God was completed, and I don't think most of those things today exist as far as supernatural gifts. And what I do believe is that the Word of God, for example, think about this. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Well, where do we get wisdom today? From the Word of God. To another, the word of knowledge. Where do we get knowledge today? From the Word of God. To another, faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. All of these things, he says, were given in verse 7 to every man to profit withal. But there came a time when Paul wrote to Timothy, and he's completing, he's filling up, if you will, Colossians chapter 1, to fulfill the Word of God. And he says to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The problem is, folks, that people don't believe today that it's profitable. They believe that the words of man are equal with the words of God. Mary and I were watching a program, and it was about a woman that had escaped from, I can't remember the initials anyway, it's the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, I guess FLDS. The one that Warren Jeffers, y'all remember that deal out there in Texas? And that's why Barbara and Jerry left. They were after them. This guy ended up in prison. This girl had escaped when she was 18 or 19 years old. And so she was telling her story and confronting her dad about these things that he had done. And her dad had two wives, and he was seeking a third because he said, you cannot get into heaven without at least three wives. He gave her at the age of 17 to a man to be his wife. This man was in his 80s. And so when they were questioned how all this comes about, this man says, well, when God speaks to a person, when God speaks to the men, he tells those men which women they should take to be their wives. And he said, such and such came to me and said, God has told me that you're to give me your daughter to wife. And so he did. After about a year later, she escaped from there, crawled over a 10-foot wall at night, had somebody waiting on her, and has written a book now about what she experienced there. It's a whole practice of molestation. And it's an ungodly, evil thing in the name of religion. But what I found interesting in listening to this, and I mentioned it to Mary, I said, there you go. There you go. What was it? This man said, God told us. Not one time did he even make a reference to the Bible or to a scripture. It was all about what God had revealed through the prophet and through the men and so forth. Now that's an extreme situation. But I want to tell you something, folks, and listen closely. When a man or a woman, what's that woman's name? Beth Moore? Saw a sign the other day where she was appearing at some church here in town. I've got an article. I'll bring it next week and read you some excerpts from it. This woman says that God speaks to her directly, and she draws crowds and teaches people how God can speak to them as well. I love that thing that was on Facebook a few weeks ago. It said, you want to hear the voice of God? Read your Bible. You want to hear the voice of God out loud? Read it out loud. Come on, people. God Almighty has spoken by His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And any individual that stands up and tells you God told them something apart from the Word of God is lying to you and everybody else. Say, well, that woman's done wonderful things. I don't care. She's a liar. And anybody else that stands up and says God told them something, independent from the Word of God, is lying through their teeth. And they're doing it for money and for popularity and to be accepted and to draw crowds. Now, I know that don't fly well with most people and is not the popular thing to say, but that's the book. God is speaking to us through His Word. All Scripture is given inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of sound doctrine. Next week we'll look at reproof, then correction, then instruction in righteousness. Now I'm picking up my phone here because I looked up a definition, and of course now it's gone. I just wanted to get the dictionary definition of doctrine. Well, you know what? It was real profound. It said it's teaching. It's teaching. It's what is taught. The archaic meaning, that was what the word was. Well, that's what doctrine is, folks. It's teaching from the Word of God. And it is the instruction that we receive from the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, that word doctrine is mentioned 50 times in the King James Bible, 44 times in the New Testament, and 21 times by the Apostle Paul, and every one of those numbers I just gave you are from memory. And that's quite an accomplishment for me, but I would have written them down, but didn't have a pen. But the fact is that most of the doctrine, most of the time doctrine is talked about in your Bible, is by the Apostle Paul. And he mentions it specifically a lot, I think it's 14 times or the 21 times, to Timothy. Look back in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Look in verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, after being any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Well then, there's doctrine. There's bad doctrine, there's sound doctrine. Look over in chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put them in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Look in chapter 5, in verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we started out this morning. All right, let's go over to chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, Thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, and so forth. And then in verse 16, of course, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, then where does our doctrine come from? It comes from the Scripture. It comes from the Word of God. Jesus Christ told the Sadducees, He said, You do teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Well, we want to be sure that the doctrine then is always based upon the Word of God and also based upon the Word of God rightly divided. Because you see, as I've mentioned so many times, and I know we continually have new people, visitors, people on the internet, but most bad doctrine today, most false doctrine today is nothing more, and I said most, not all of it, is nothing more than doctrine from another dispensation being applied today. And that's why it's so important that we understand the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, and understand that it's in Paul's epistles and Paul's epistles alone that we find that doctrine. Now, I want you to think about three or four things in the time we have remaining. First of all, sound doctrine as it relates to salvation. Vince was talking about this morning about the mind of Christ, and this is much of this is going to go right along with that. But the fact is that the doctrine of salvation has not always been the same, obviously. The Apostle Paul, look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-will, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Now notice, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able, how? By sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Let me tell you something, folks. If you can't convince somebody of a truth by doctrine, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about influencing them by your ability to speak or persuade or change their mind. He says, by sound doctrine, you're able to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Notice verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Well, why do you think today that most preachers preach what they preach, those that, like I was talking about a moment ago, and others as well, not all of them, obviously, but there are many that preach and teach what they teach today because of for filthy lucre's sake. And in Paul's time, when he wrote this, he said there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Well, what do you reckon the circumcision was preaching? They're probably preaching circumcision. I mean, when Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, what had happened there? Somebody came along, Paul preached salvation by grace, and they said, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And Paul said, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Well, now there was a time when circumcision was appropriate. It was right. As a matter of fact, back in the Old Testament, if a child of Israel, if a man wanted to be part of Israel, and they were not circumcised, the Bible says they were cut off from the nation. That's how important it was. But you see, today in the dispensation of the grace of God, there is no physical work that a person has to do in order to be saved, whether it be circumcision, baptism, church membership. Saw where the Pope this past week said that only those that were going to heaven, only ones going to heaven were those that were part of the Catholic Church. Well, that's, you know why he said that? Because it's what he believes. That's what they teach. There are other churches that believe you've got to be part of their church. That man I was talking about in the Latter-day Saints sat there and listed all of these things that you achieve. All that stuff, where did they get that stuff? Some man wrote it down. This is supposed to be the fundamental Mormons, if you will. Some man. Paul said their mouths must be stopped. Salvation is by grace through faith. We know that because of the Word of God. Now, I want to mention several things here just quickly. Why the doctrine of rightly dividing the Word of truth, why doctrine is so important to us. Number one, we need to know how we are empowered to carry out the word of, will of God in our life. And again, this kind of goes along with what Vince was talking about this morning. But I want you to notice the differences. Look back in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. Luke 12:11. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Look back in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Now, I know most of you are familiar with these things, but just bear with me a few minutes. I want you to just see that there are some differences. And these things are significant, folks. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speaketh, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Now, think about these verses that we just read. They're very clear. They're very specific about the fact that when those disciples were going to be in the synagogue there, going to be questioned, it was going to be given them what they were to say. And John said that you need not that any man teach you. Well, notice over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Well, the Lord must have got confused somewhere along the line, because John said, you don't need any man to teach you, and yet the Lord gave us in this dispensation teachers, pastors and teachers. Folks, we had a Bible conference here back in 1973. And it was a independent, fundamental group of preachers. And we had a bunch of them here. And during that time, we had some singers. And I'm talking about, we had some that, buddy, we got on with it. We had the speakers set up here and the snow cone microphones. And those people that were here, they know what I'm talking about. And during some of those songs, there were some men from Michigan, couple of preachers, and they'd get excited, and they're sitting about where Hayden's sitting over there, and one of these guys, he'd jump up, he'd run all the way back there, all the way across there, back around here, with his hands up, screaming and hollering and shouting, hallelujah. Later on, this man preached, and there had been a lot of emphasis by some of the preachers about the Word of God, and this man got up, and he said, I need not that any man teach me. He said, I don't need anybody. He said, I have an unction from on high. The Spirit of God tells me what to say. And when he got up there, it was evident that he needed somebody to teach him. And it was evident that the Spirit of God wasn't speaking through him. By the way, that Friday night, Mary and I pulled up. We walked inside here, and there's already singing, and that guy was shouting, and he went running around the church, and he got so excited he took off and ran down that aisle and out the back door, shouting and hollering. And there was two women pulled up in their car, and when they saw that, they got back in their car and left. And I wished I had, except for the fact that Brother Moore preached that night. And Brother Moore got up and he said, "I've heard a bunch this week about the Word of God and about the Spirit of God." He said, "I'm going to show you that none of you believe that book means what it says." He said, "Turn to the book of Matthew." And he started preaching. And I had that tape for years. And there was one little voice every now and then you hear back there, "Amen." And I'm sitting right back there about where Mary is right now. And I was the only amen in the whole congregation. Everybody else, it was old me. But you see, I'm not bragging on myself, folks. I heard a man preaching the book, and I never heard that before. A man that believed what he was preaching. And he was rightly dividing the word of truth. And those preachers, I'm telling you what, the time that was over, they were so mad. Most of them were so mad. There was one sitting right down here. He had a big, tall, lanky guy and had on white shoes and a beautiful white suit and a dark shirt and all that. And Brother Moore started talking about these evangelists running all over the country in their white shoes. And that guy was trying to pull his feet up under the pew so far he like to broke his legs. What am I saying? All that, you see, all this stuff. People, I heard a man this morning talking about the service they had Wednesday night and how the Spirit of God was really there present. Well, I'm wondering, when they say that, I know what they're talking about. There must have been some physical manifestation. Did you know that the Spirit of God is really present this morning? You know why? Because His Word's going forth. Now, I believe the Spirit of God leads us today and guides us today, but not contrary to the Word of God. And I also believe if you don't study and you get up, it's sort of like, you know, I used to pray for tests when I have to take a test in school. I always found that the prayers worked a lot better when I did a little studying. But if I didn't study, I still prayed. But I never passed. And I thought, well, the Lord just didn't give me the answers. Except when I took the ACT test, and He did give me all the answers in, and I made a real high grade, higher than I ever should have, because I never read the questions. I was supposed to be at an Alabama LSU game in 1 hour, and I went down and just checked every one of them. I got a 24 on my ACT test. Was accepted at Alabama based on that ACT test, and never read the questions. Had to be the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding about what happened. It actually happened. All these other guys, friends of mine, getting 16s, 17s, and 18s, and they're a lot smarter than I was. They said, "What was the secret?" I said, "Don't read the questions." God has empowered us today, but He's empowered us through His Word. Study. Study, He said. Well, He didn't tell the disciples to study. I mean, there was a sense of urgency. What they were doing, they were given the gift of tongues. They had to speak in the language that people knew. But to you and I in this present dispensation, He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Not only that, God Almighty promised the disciples that He would meet their physical provisions. He said, "Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on." Well, what happened over in Acts chapter 2? They sold their possessions. They sold what they had. Amazes me how so many people that want to say they really believe the church started in Acts chapter 2, none of them follow the doctrine of Acts chapter 2. Well, what did Paul say? Paul said, "If you don't work, neither shall you eat." There was a change took place, folks. Prayer. I mean, think about the number of people today that are discouraged and despondent and believe that God has turned His back on them because they've been taught, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find," and they don't get the answer for their prayer. This is one area where people really need to know and understand the truth, because people are asking and begging and praying for that. And you know what it does? It completely changes people's perception of God. Because what religion has taught is that God is like a Santa Claus in the sky. He's up there doling out the goodies. And what you ask for, you get. There's this thing going around today called the favor of God. And every now and then you see people posting on Facebook about having the favor of God in their life and how that just affects everything. You know, it all ends up ridiculous. Well, the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God never answered it. Do I believe God answered prayer? Absolutely. Do I believe you ought to pray? Yes, you should. But you need to understand you don't have the promises of Israel when it comes to prayer. It's different. That's some doctrine that'll help you in your life. That's some doctrine that'll cause you to see things as God wants you to see them in this present dispensation, and how to operate in this present dispensation. You need to understand today that we're not under the law. Jesus had a man come to him and said, "What good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And he said, "Keep the commandments." The man said, "I've kept those." He said, "Well, then go out and sell what you have. Give alms to the poor." Well, God never called on you to sell anything. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, we've been delivered from the law. We're not under the law. You need to understand today that there's no unpardonable sin. There was in the book of Matthew. There was in the early part of Acts. But when God saved the Apostle Paul, things changed, because Paul himself was a blasphemer. We're talking about sound doctrine. We're talking about teaching that will change your life and cause you to understand how you're to function today in this present evil world. As Vince read this morning, we have the mind of Christ. But that's not something that is supernaturally imposed. It's something you have the Spirit of God the moment you get saved. And by that Spirit, you're sealed into their redemption. By that Spirit, you're baptized into the body of Christ. And by that Spirit, we know all things. But it works with and through the Word of God, so that we know what God desires of us today and what He has for us today. And we can understand that through the Word of God. We understand that we're not under the doctrine of Matthew 6:15, when Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. We understand today that we have the doctrine of Colossians 2:13. He's forgiven us all trespasses. You see, folks, these things are not just hobby horses. These things are not just things that you go through the Bible and try to pick up just to prove your point. I want to tell you something. These were things that changed my life when I saw them. These were things that I had been confused about my entire life. At 26 years old, I had been confused about these things. I can't tell you the number of things I prayed for and always had in the back of my mind, there's something wrong with my life because God's not answering my prayer. And when I read through the New Testament for the first time, front to back, I immediately saw there were some differences. And then I read it again. And then I began to listen. And I can tell you, apart from salvation, the greatest blessing of life is knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth, so that we understand that today we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And that our power comes from within by the Holy Ghost and the work of the Word of God. And I understand, and we all can understand, that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. And it was given for a reason. Listen, don't ever take lightly the value of the Word of God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This book is the presentation of God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ. And it's all that we need to know about Him. And any man that tries to put his or her individual revelations equal with the Word of God is an abomination in the sight of God Almighty. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We get accused of believing just Paul's epistles. Let me tell you something. Genesis 1:1 through Revelation, whatever it is there. whatever that last verse is, can't remember right now, they're all equally inspired. They're all the Word of God. But let me tell you something, they're not all doctrine for you. They're not all doctrine for you. The doctrine for you is in Paul's epistles. That's why he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, as I started out, the most important reason, above all others, for rightly dividing the word of truth, is so we can clearly show people how to be saved in this present dispensation. Because there has been a difference. And if you're not saved today, you're not going to get saved by the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not going to get saved by what Jesus told that man in Matthew 19. You're not going to get saved by what Peter told Israel in Acts 2:38. If you get saved, you're going to get saved by believing the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to Scriptures, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to Scriptures. And when you believe that and trust Jesus Christ, God Almighty will save you that second. And He'll give you His Spirit. But when He gives you that Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise and seals you with that Spirit, He's not going to give you all the knowledge and all the wisdom. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How are you going to do that? Study. Study the book. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Would you stand me for prayer?